escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, we're back again on the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, powered by LWYM. This is the youth pastor of said ministry, Gio, and with me as always is my wife,
Sarai.
We'd like to welcome you once again to the newest edition of the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast. For those of you that listened yesterday, today will be a continuation of our interview with Mr. Hector Nunez. He's been informing us on how the Lord liberated him from depression, from melancholy, and recounting his experiences leading up to his conversion and beyond. He's also the father of one of our most, what do we call them, beloved?
That's right.
Youth, Sebastian. We also know him as Constitution Man. If you want to know anything about U.S. history, that's a young man to speak upon those things. So Hector, in yesterday's program, we were speaking about up until your moment of conversion. You were telling us how you didn't want to know. You were in confusion. You were asking God, Lord, show me. What is the truth here? I know about all of these different religions, but you need to showcase to me what is the truth. And you were still experiencing depression. You were drinking. You were taking drugs. One day, lo and behold, you approached a church service because you were picking up your in-laws. They said, come on in. You're listening to a song, and all of a sudden you feel this immense love that you had never felt before. Continue, please, if you would, for us.
Right, and thank you, Sarai, for bringing me back, and Gio. Basically, when I felt that love, that transformed my life, and I didn't understand what was going on because, you know, it's a progression from the new birth. So you meet the Lord, every day you're progressing, every day you're learning. It's like you're being born again. It's like you're a child, you're learning how to walk. So you basically learn how to walk again in the new life. So what happened to me was I didn't understand what had happened, but I knew that God reached out to me and that he had reached out to me for a purpose and wanted to, you know, transform my life. And since I accepted him, it's like I became committed, just like he was committed to, you know, to me. And because people think that, well, God is not committed to me. God doesn't listen to me. God is this. They always blame me like if God wasn't there, but they don't realize that every day they wake up, the sun, you know, shining. Well, sometimes, well, you know, you get clouds and rain, but even clouds and rains being precipitation and precipitation, you know, that moisture we need. For the plants, we need it because you need to eat. And the animals need to drink water. You need to drink water, so you need that rain. That's the same thing that they don't understand, that God has always been there. That what happens if God was like man? Well, if you don't pay your electric bill, we're going to cut off your electricity. Well, if you don't pay my dues to me, then I'm going to cut off your oxygen supply. God doesn't do that.
Exactly.
He's always there. So as I was learning, I began to see that God was always there. And in moments in childhood when I thought this was the end, this was it, until now I can remember that was God's hand, because there was times where I was in situations where, you know, God's hand was there. I just didn't acknowledge it. I just didn't think about it, but he was there. He's always been committed. So now it's my turn to be committed to him. Not as if I'm following a ritual like other religions do, but as if, you know, I'm part of this commitment that now, you know, he's reached out to me. Now I got to continue to walk in his way. So the best way is, you know, when you read the word of God, and that's what I dove into. I just dove into the word, not knowing anything. I said the best thing to do is to go directly to the word of God. And I was still, you know, suffering depression. Thank God that during that conversion, for some reason, I just didn't need to drink. Like, it was like the Holy Spirit came and just like hit me with his love. And I just didn't have the urge to drink anymore. I didn't have the urge to do any more drugs. It was just like if God was all I needed. I didn't need any other substitution. I didn't need any other, you know, anything else in my life to fill that void. That void that I had that was missing, God had filled it up. I didn't have no need for the pleasures of this world. But it takes a little bit of time for the other things, because there's other things that you need to learn, you need to grow, and you need to wean out of. And once I started reading about the Word of God and understanding and started reading the stories and everything, you know, I noticed that, because I came from I was born again. I was in a Baptist church, because that's where my in-laws were. But then we started going to a Pentecostal church. And
That must have been a shock to your system, because Baptists are usually very reserved and the Pentecostals are crazy.
Yeah, and you're going from one extreme to the other extreme now.
Right. And the reason being, because I had that experience and I wanted more. So that hunger to have that supernatural experience, because it's not natural, but again, I mean, God gave that dose of love to me. I wanted more. But even though that I was taking baby steps, you know, God was always there. And the biggest, I guess, piece of advice that God permitted me was to read that Word of God, because that reading the Word of God was a huge help, because there's so many different doctrines that a new believer would be confused, because they were saying, okay, now I'm Christian. Now I hear this denomination saying this denomination saying that. Well, how you know? The Word of God is right there right in front of you. You just need to read it.
Amen.
So that helped me. So then I started praying and I started fasting and started looking for God. And going through that depression, more and more that I need to look for God, more and more that I need to know more about Him, more and more I wanted to just like pretty much just take my life and say, here, God, do whatever, because it was so powerful. It was just feeling His love was the greatest thing. It just, nothing ever experienced that. And to this day, I still remember. Sometimes I tear, because it's like I was in a moment in my life where I didn't want to live no more. Now God gave me, you know, a breath of life. It was like a drink of water in the middle of the desert. So I came and I started praying and fasting, and I humbled myself even more. And I said, you know, I kept on reading the book of Acts and seeing what the first church went through. It's like, I ain't going through nothing compared to these people. They really had to pay the price, you know. So I started, you know, praying to God and says, you know, God, I really need you. I want to feel the joy. I want to be, you know, don't want to feel depressed no more. I don't want to feel sad for myself no more. And I just started like, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I even said to God, I saw everything I had, even if I didn't have much, but I'll do whatever I needed to do to serve you. I was that committed. Still am. And I said, you know, I just want you and I want to serve you. And it just sometimes in life you think you know, but you don't know. That's why I keep on telling my children. It's like, you know, the biggest dilemma with teenagers is you think you know everything, but you don't know anything.
Exactly.
That's right.
Because you haven't experienced life yet.
Yeah.
And I was going through the same thing, and I remember breaking down to God, breaking down to Him, and I can't go into so many details because so many things are personal. But I humble myself to like you wouldn't believe it, because I wanted to serve Him, but at the same time I wanted to feel joy. I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be productive in the society. I wanted to do something. I wanted to, you know, spread the little bit of knowledge of God that I needed to. And going through all this, I didn't appreciate that God was there. And I noticed that even though like I went through hardships economically, you know, He was there. And miraculously, every single month I was able to pay my bills, and so after I started serving Christ, there's a point in my life, the high points, that I've never made money like I made before. Like God blessed me. Like I never wanted to do sales. You know what is hard for somebody like me that has problems interacting socially to go into sales?
Yeah.
I went to a job fair, and it says, my wife's like, look, they're hiring salespeople. They're making $26,000 a year. I'm like, great, that's 7,000 more than I'm making now. So I jumped ahead. But at the same time, it was the first time that I was able to witness to people, because I was going door to door knocking. This is the first time I ever did sales. So I went door to door. And at the same time, I was like, who cares about it? I didn't even know what politically correct was. I was like, who cares if the company tells me I can't talk about God? I'm just going to talk about God anyway. This is, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear the sales pitch, or you're going to hear the evangelism. You're going to hear both. And I remember when I looked at my first check that I made, like $4,000. That was the first time I ever made that kind of money. Usually it was like 600, 659. Now it's like 4000. Like, wow. And me and my wife, we were just like, wow, I knew we'd never seen this kind of money before. You know, went to go buy a new car and go buy, you know, let's go take a trip to Miami. Here, you know, I used to live in New Jersey. And it started like wondering, like, wow, God does, you know, bless us. You know, yes. He does provide for us. And in the middle of all of that, I started, you know, humbling myself more and more, And as I beginning to, my life to progress, I need to find out, God, what is it you want me to do?
So I need to make an emphasis here on an important point you're making. Much of the church in our day and age, they make God out to be an ATM.
That's right.
You noticed that God benefited you financially, but it was because you were seeking Him first. You weren't seeking Him because, well, God can give me something in the form of pecuniary sustenance.
That's right.
No, you said, I'm searching God for who He is, not for any secondary benefit that He might provide. So that's an important point to make, and I think it's you've clearly established it through your testimony.
Yeah, and the thing was is that I've, as a child, I always wanted to own my own business. I wanted to be in control and be able to, you know, provide for myself without needing a just a simple check. And I think that God started, you know, already giving me that wisdom and knowledge. And every single job that I had going through sales, you know, now I started selling cable, but then I went on to sell other things and I started selling business to business. And now I'm dealing with business owners and CEOs, CFOs and naming and whatnot. And I started learning all these things.
Wow. And delight in the Lord and He shall provide you the petitions of your heart. Amazing.
And I started entering into a different world now. Since I never really, you know, stepped in foot inside of a college, you know, I had no knowledge. I had really started learning as I progressed. And as I started learning more about business and learning more about the structures and learning how, you know.
So this was on the job training, if you will.
This was on the job training. And then, you know, I started, you know, talking to business owners and people that ran businesses and started, you know, even giving advice. I'm like, I never owned a business before, but I'm able to. All of a sudden, I'm like, wow.
Praise God.
And I remember that I was curious because I wanted to know what God wanted to do in my life. And He started showing me dreams. I had dreams. And, you know, you have a lot of dreams, but there's certain dreams that mean something. And God can use dreams as a tool to speak out to you. And I never forget that a lot of times, you know, God has been showing me that I want to be a business owner, prepare me for that. And that was like the line that God was showing me, like, you know, you asked for it. This is what you're going to do. So I started preparing my mind and my heart towards that. It just didn't happen overnight, but it progressively started to happen. Going back to the depression, you know, I came and I just broke down to God. I said, God, you have to do something. I just literally went like I humbled myself and I said, you know, now I know kind of what you want me to do, but now we're going to work on this area. And I didn't understand what God was trying to tell me because I read the word and people were telling me, you know, you need to trust in God and trust in God and that trust in God. And at the same time, I didn't want to let go. But there was fear, and that fear was driving me over to a deep depression. That's what drove me, the fear. So remember one day that a lot of times people don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in like angels and demons. And I had no idea that they really, you know, existed like that. But one day I was dreaming, I was sleeping and I woke up and I couldn't move. And I was like stiff like this. And then when I opened up my eyes, I saw what looked like a neon sign.
Yes.
I was looking at. It was, you know, an angel, you know, it was a fallen angel. I was looking at him. He was looking at me face to face and his eyes were like two flames. And I'm like wondering, what is this? And I was scared and I couldn't talk or anything. And I started rebuking it in my mind. And then once I was able to speak, I started rebuking it. And then I felt like he just pushed me and laughed at me with like the cynical laugh and then left. Not too long after that, I was in church and his preacher was preaching and his message was different because in Pentecostal churches, you're going to get a lot of those preachers that they scream and they jump and they run. And this guy was more calm. He was more focused on the message and more focused on teaching you and showing you the word of God. And that intrigued me, you know. At the same time, I like the fire and this and that. But then later on, I noticed that it's more, you know, just a spiritual show than it really is the real movement of God. Because I felt his experience. And at the end, he was going to give the mic to our pastor. And he said, wait, there's one person that God is dealing with. There's one person here that needs to come to the altar now. I'm not going to give the mic to the pastor until that person comes up to the front. Nobody else came and I went. And he prayed for me. And then he looked at me and he says, you know, God's going to put his spirit on your shoulders. But that wasn't enough. And I came and I asked him, like, you know, I'm going through this. And going through this, so I explained a little bit of my testimony. He said, you know what? He showed me a verse in the Bible and says, what God gives to you, nobody shall take away. No man shall take away. And I don't remember exactly what verse it is. But that day, 3 days later, depression left.
Praise God.
Miraculously.
Just miraculously. But it was just like, I needed to hear that. Like, I needed to hear God tell me it's going to be okay. I need to hear God tell me that I'm there. I need just to hear that confirmation from him that, you know, I didn't need to fear no more. I didn't need to worry no more that he was going to take care of me, that he was going to be there, that he's all that I need. And that gave me such a peace to this day. And you see me the way I am. I mean, my wife went through what she went through. I mean, there was a point in our lives where, you know, we made a lot of money. I lived in a $500,000 home at one point. And at one point, you know, we lived in a house that was pretty nice. I had marble granite floors, a crystal chandelier. We were living large. When we were losing that, I wasn't as worried or sad because of what I went through, but I trust in God. And I told my wife that you just need to trust in him. And sometimes in life, you're not going to get exactly what you want, but you have to trust that he's going to provide for you, that you're going to get in life, you know, what sometimes, you know, you need to just trust in God's sovereignty. That's the word I'm looking for, in his sovereignty. And once I went through that experience and once God brought me out of there, it's like I have this peace and joy that even though you go through things in life, even though you suffer in this world, that you have that hope that you're going to meet with him face to face. That's my hope.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't value that today because they see material things. And material things come and go. Like, I lived like in an apartment paying $100 rent, and I lived in a $500,000 home. You know, I drove a junky car that I had to put oil in it to, you know, you know, to make it run.
Exactly.
And I've, you know, drove in new luxury cars. I've done it all. But those things pass away.
That's right.
It's amazing. You remind me of what Paul states to, I think it's the young preacher Timothy, where he says, I've learned to live with abundance, and I've also learned to live when I'm lacking. And I just trust in God for my sustenance. And I think you made an excellent point, a very valid one in our day and age, but it's not very propagated. And your testimony is living proof that God sustains us even through those hardships. And that he is our sustenance. It's not the material things that we can garner, but God himself. I mean, even Jesus tells us that you are going to experience hardships in the world. Sometimes, you know, you have these Christians who are depending so much on materialism that they question God. And it's not God's fault that the stock market crashes. It's not his fault that maybe certain investors decided to game the market and everybody loses money. That's not his fault. That's just, you know, things that happen in this world, you know?
And it's the same thing, and till now we're able to see more clearly. I love the verse where Paul's even saying that once I thought as a child, spoke as a child, you know, but now he sees things in a whole different spectrum because he grew, and that's the thing, we got to grow every day. And now that I've grown and mature more in Christ, you know, you see things differently.
Yes.
And now my heart is more prepared. And just to, you know, pretty much get to the end of my testimony, you know, just recently, me and my wife, we started a business. And it took us a long time. And literally, you know, it's not like I had like this whole bunch of capital that I have, or, you know, or basically like I prepared, you know, like, oh, I should have prepared. But it actually all came about out of need. And it's like, I'm looking at my office, like, all these years I always wanted my own business. Now I have it. And I, you know, have a home office. And I looked at it, I was like, this is amazing. You know, like, even though it's humble beginnings for us, but it's a start. And And you just got to trust in God. And walking by faith doesn't mean that you're just going to sit there and lie there and say, okay, God, now I'm going to sit here, tweet on my thumbs and wait for you.
That's
you
know, right. Have you do all the job.
You do all the work.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he blesses the labor of your hands. And the biggest thing that me and my wife says, you know, we're doing this, but at the same time, we help those who are in need. You know, we help our family. You know, it's going to be a tool where we're going to help, you know, and provide for ourselves and for our family. And that's the biggest takeaway that you can take from my testimony is that if you humble yourself before God, and if you're going what you're going through, you know, you don't need to suffer in silence. You don't need to just pass every day and forget that there is a God, that there is a person that will listen to you, that will understand you. All you got to do is just reach out to him.
That's right.
And a lot of times God is reaching out to the person and they're paying deaf ear because, you know, God wants to reach out to you. God wishes that everybody will come to repentance.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Hector, mm-hmm. before we finish mm-hmm. with a few minutes left on our program. What would you say to the atheist that's listening? To a person whom would question your testimony as real as it is, as accurate as it is, and say, well, God might have manifested himself to you, but he hasn't to me. What advice would you give that person?
The advice I would give is that I got to a point where I came and just took a trash can, I opened the lid, and I put my arrogance, I put my knowledge, I put everything in there and closed it and put it in a trash can. Because God reached out to me. I humble myself.
Mm.
And a lot of times you can think, see, knowledge can only go a certain way. Understanding can go a certain way. But people, I think, are too arrogant, are too into themselves and too much into what has God done for me? What has not God done for you?
That's right.
And the reason why is because you have this wall of arrogance and pride. Mm. And that wall was broken down. Once that wall was broken down, I was able to reach out to God.
Mm.
And that's what happens a lot of times, because do you really want to reach out to God?
Mm.
And that's a lot of times a lot of folks don't see that. A lot of Christians preach that you have to. Yeah, and they on top of somebody. But it's something so personal, because the person needs to reach out and say, you know, God, forgive me. They need to reach out.
That's
because
right.
The thing is that God has been reaching out to them, but they haven't been heeding the call.
Yeah.
And then when you come and you humble yourself before God, that's the beginning, because he's been reaching out to you, just haven't noticed it.
And
that's
what can you, what word of encouragement can you give? Because I know that there's both girls and boys that are listening and youth that are listening, but what encouragement can you give to the young man who feels that they don't fit in school like you did, that they are trying to advance and they're falling behind, that the school system is saying, look, you're not fitting in. You're not fitting in. You're not fitting in. You're not fitting in.
And the Christians who are also experiencing the rejection because
exactly.
they're Christians.
What encouragement can you give them? What sort of hope can you give them if they're going through that as we speak?
A lot of times it takes, because things that the answer is right there, right in front of you. And a lot of times you don't see it. People are going to judge you no matter what. And the thing is that, you know, God created us. And a lot of times, a lot of people say, well, equally. The thing is that before God, we were all equal, even though that there's some people that are rich, poor, some more powerful. That's just the way the system is.
Exactly.
But you don't have to feel sad, because a lot of times you may be deficient in this, but you're not deficient in that.
That's right.
And then you're looking at, because I'm not a good basketball player. But you can play the violin like, phew, you just don't know. And that's what happened to me. I might not be good, for example, linguistically, but in math and in geography, there's kids that they used to make fun of me. And I was like, what country are you from? Your parents were, oh, my parents were from Germany. That's it. That's all they know. But do you know that Germany is Berlin, and there's a Berlin East and West and the whole history? They don't know none of that. They don't know none of that. And they don't know where they stand. They say, well, I'm in New Jersey. where in the whole hemisphere are you? So you make fun of me, but you don't even know geography. You know, you don't even know where you are on the map.
Exactly. Hmm.
So I began to see, like, wow, I am good in this area, but not good in this area. And that's just the way we are.
Exactly. The world will value many things, but it doesn't mean that what it values is of any importance. I mean, you made a great point. For example, we value professional basketball players. But when we examine, well, what do professional basketball players do for society? Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Just entertain.
And yet a person who plays the violin excellently, or we have geographers and we have a geologist, for example, they provide a lot to our society without a whole mass heap of it, heaping praise on them as they do the professional basketball player. What does the professional basketball player, what does he do? He shoots into a hoop and people rejoice over that. Yet we need the geologist's work. We need the violinist to play for us and provide a beautiful piece. You see, just because the world values it doesn't mean that whatever the secularists give any importance to is actually important.
Right. And if you're feeling down because you don't feel like you're up to par, man, God created you in the womb of your mother. Mm. And he knows you. Even he knows how many hairs you have on your head. So he knows you. And all you need to do is humble yourself before God and ask God, because I did. And he gave me an answer. A lot of people are waiting for God to pretty much knock on their door like this and say, hello, walk in, sit down. Let's have a chat here. And a lot of times is that he will reach out to you. You just don't know. Hmm. You just got to like humble yourself before God and he will show you. And believe me, you're no less valuable than the person next to you. Before God, you know, we're nobody special. Hmm. You know, before God, he loves you. You know, so much that he died on the cross.
For every single
person. For every single person. So if he did that to you, he only did that for you. He did that for your neighbor. He did it for everybody.
That's right.
So if he loves you that much, don't you think that he cares about you? All you got to do is believe in him and reach out to him, because he's reaching out to you. That tugging in your heart, that little sensation, that hope, little array of hope that you have, that's God. Because God loves you, but you're not loving him back. Mm. And that's the thing. That's what God wants. All he wanted for his creation was to praise him and give him glory. And now people say, why does God want glory? Because he loves us. All he needs is for us to love him back. And how do we love him back? By serving him. How do I know how to serve him? You go to the word and the word will tell you what to do. It's plain. It's written in white, black, and red, if you had that red.
Praise God.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point to finish our edition today. Hector, we thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your testimony. We hope that the listeners will be inspired by Hector's story. And at the same time, that don't keep this to yourselves. We offer this podcast freely, downloadable freely on our website. Give by grace what you have received by grace. Mr. Nunez here has shared his testimony with us by grace. Share this with other people so they too may know the truth of the gospel and how God still works in our day and age. Even though many people will dismiss him, he is still right at the doorstep, as Amen. Mr. Nunez has said. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, you can download, once again, I remind you, you can download these podcasts for free on our website. Visit it now, lwym.org, lwym.org. We're signing off until the next occasion that we meet. May the Lord shine his face upon you, and Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.